KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies here in Atlantic and 24 degrees. We look forward to be mostly cloudy today, a high of 32. Any light snow still lingering in the area will be ending this morning. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Roadways around western Iowa continue to be mostly covered with ice and or slush this morning, and do be careful if you're out driving around and watch out for those icy bridges as well. In the news, the Adams County Sheriff's Office reports one person was injured during a single vehicle accident Sunday morning on 183rd Street near Corning. 22-year-old Leah Marie Purcell of Corning was driving a 2004 Pontiac Grand Prix eastbound on 183rd when the car went out of control and slid off the road at around 9 a.m. The road was snow-covered at the time of the accident. Purcell was transported by ambulance to the Corning Hospital for treatment of non-incapacitating injuries. Her vehicle sustained about $5,000 damage and was declared a total loss. News time is 8:01.
Thinking about upgrading your phone? Well, stop into the TV Store, your local Verizon authorized retailer, and learn about all the great deals.
With Verizon's amazing lineup of smartphones, you'll be able to find a phone to fit any budget, like the Droid Razr N by Motorola for only $50 after rebate.
Have a family that all wants smartphones? Not a problem. Now introducing the Share Everything plan.
With the Share Everything plan, you get unlimited talks, unlimited text, and a shareable data to power up to 10 devices. Capable devices may be used as a mobile hotspot at no additional cost. With 4G LTE, you can surf the internet and talk on your 4G phone at the same time. That means you can use your 4G phone to run your computer while talking to your mom.
4G is just right around the corner for our area, so make sure to stop into the TV Store, your local Verizon authorized retailer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or call us at 712-243-3032 to get it set up with your new 4G phone and plan.
Activation upgrade fee up to $35. Subject to customer agreement, calling plan, and rebate form and credit approval. Up to $350 early termination fee and other charges. Unlimited calling for directly dialed live calls between individuals. Offers and coverage vary by SVC. Not available everywhere. See VZW.com.
Authorities in Taylor County say one person died and another was injured during a single vehicle rollover accident Sunday morning in Lenox. According to the Lenox Police Department, 21-year-old Alexandro Vasquez Gutierrez of Lenox died after being ejected from the 2000 Cadillac he was driving when it went out of control and rolled into a pasture. The accident, which occurred at the corner of Garrettson and Schoenherr in Lenox, was reported at around 8:20 a.m. Officials say a 17-year-old passenger in the vehicle was transported to the Corning Hospital, where he was later treated and released. An investigation determined that both speed and the weather conditions played a role in causing that accident. The investigation was conducted by the Lenox Police Department. A house fire in Shenandoah Sunday morning claimed the lives of some family pets, but no one was injured. According to reports, firefighters responded to the home of William Hamilton at 1311 West Lowell Street just before 4 a.m. Sunday. Prior to their arrival, the flames consumed a bathroom and were spreading to a bedroom. Among the animals lost in the blaze were some birds and hamsters. A family cat was also missing. Firefighters were on the scene for about 90 minutes. A dollar amount of the damage was not immediately available, and there was no word on the cause. Police in Red Oak say a Stanton man was arrested Saturday morning on warrants out of Taylor and Pottawatomie counties for failure to pay child support and fourth-degree theft. Officials say 43-year-old Thomas Sean Johnson of Stanton was taken into custody after a Red Oak police officer on routine patrol ran a warrant check on a man he identified as Thomas after he saw the man walking towards Broadway past the fire station in Red Oak. Thomas was brought to the Montgomery County Jail and later transported to the Taylor County Jail, where he was being held on $6,000 bond. A judge in the case of a Marnie man who allegedly shot a Colorado woman's dog has delayed the trial until April. Judge Jeffrey Larson last week continued the trial for 56-year-old Charles Collins Cutler until April 16th. The pretrial conference was also pushed back and will be held April 8th in Cass County District Court. His case was originally set to be heard on March 26th. The judge denied Cutler's request for a change of venue. Cutler faces an aggravated serious misdemeanor charge of animal abuse and a serious misdemeanor charge of reckless use of a firearm in connection with the shooting of a dog which strayed onto his property on December 24th of 2012. Cutler pleaded not guilty to both charges. According to the Cass County Sheriff's Office, the incident began when a dog owned by 23-year-old Stacy Ernatt from Denver, Colorado, was shot when it strayed onto Cutler's property. Ernatt told authorities her chocolate Labrador Wrigley was playing with a relative's dog in the church lot adjacent to Cutler's residence when the dog ran onto his property and was wounded by a shotgun blast fired from a distance of some 30 to 40 feet. The dog was treated but succumbed to its injuries at the Atlantic Animal Health Center. Elsewhere in the news, a handful of meetings are slated to take place in the KJAN listening area this evening. Among them is the Cass County Board of Health, whose members will gather in the conference room number 3 at CCMH beginning at 12:15 today. The board will receive an environmental health report, review the public health budget, and discuss the latest county health rankings, which place Cass County 92nd among the 99 counties in Iowa in overall health. This evening, the Exira and Elkhorn-Kimbleton School District's Boards of Education will hold a joint meeting in the Media Center at the Exira School beginning at 7. And during that session, the boards will discuss the next steps associated with reorganization of those districts and set the date of June 25th for a public vote on the matter. The same evening, the Atlantic School Board will hold a work session at the High School Media Center. At 7:30, they'll discuss the middle school building's leadership team and hear from bonding agent Travis Squires with Piper Jeffrey. And the Ottoman City Council will gather at the Ottoman City Hall tonight at 7 o'clock for a regular session. During their meeting, the council will discuss renewal of insurance, hear an update from the stage committee, and act on a resolution authorizing the mayor to sign a notice to proceed and contract with McGuire Iron for the water tower project. Iowans are being reminded of all the dangerous possibilities that come with spring, from flooding to tornadoes, as this is the first day of Severe Weather Awareness Week. Meteorologist Jeff Johnson of the National Weather Service said we should all brush up on safety procedures, although he notes last year was relatively quiet.
Last year, of course, we had the drought, which was bad, but the other side of that coin, we had a very tranquil severe weather season with only 16 tornadoes in the state.
That was the lowest number of tornadoes in Iowa since 1963. Iowa averages 47 tornadoes per year. A record 120 tornadoes touched down in Iowa in 2004. During this Severe Weather Awareness Week, different themes will be covered each day.
Flash flooding, the warning decisions, tornadoes on Wednesday, severe thunderstorms Thursday, and then family preparedness Friday. And the week will be highlighted by the statewide tornado drill, which will occur at 10 a.m. Wednesday the 27th.
That tornado drill should be taken seriously, giving everyone a chance to think of what they should do if it were the real thing and where they would take cover. The tornado watch will be issued at 10 a.m. on Wednesday.
And then at about 10:15, we will issue a tornado warning for our area. It will be a test warning, but we'll go over the weather radio system, through the emergency alert system, and through the other systems.
You can learn more about that at www.weather.gov/DMX. Officials say the automatic federal budget cuts will affect readiness of the Iowa National Guard. The Guard's Colonel Greg Hapgood says the Iowa Guard must cut 10% of its current year budget of $370 million. Hapgood said the cuts will be squeezed into a five-month period of May through December, which makes them harder to undertake. Hapgood said the other full-time federal technicians in uniform will be taking one unpaid day per week. Chief Warrant Officer Kevin Unkle is a maintenance chief at the Iowa National Guard Armory in Cedar Rapids. He says his shop will lose 160 man-hours of labor a week, which means a reduction in annual servicing and the necessity of reordering maintenance priorities. Lawmakers in the Democratic-controlled state Senate are set to vote on legislation that would expand Medicaid in Iowa. Debate on the proposal is scheduled to begin at the Senate this afternoon. Democrats argue that expanding Medicaid would provide better health coverage to more low-income Iowa residents. Republican Governor Terry Branstad has opposed growing Medicaid. He said the cost is unsustainable for the federal government and has questioned the long-term cost for the state. Branstad has proposed revamping an existing health program for low-income residents that's funded through state and federal dollars. If Iowa expanded Medicaid, the federal government would pay the full cost for the new enrollees during the first 3 years of the expansion, and then 10% of the cost would be gradually shifted to the state. As Iowa officials near an agreement with federal authorities who are seeking tougher inspections of the state's livestock operations to prevent water pollution, activists are protesting a proposal they argue would make it easier for some farmers to avoid oversight. Legislation proposed in the Iowa House and Senate would allow livestock producers to close down barns and be reclassified as small operations, and they would no longer need to file plans for manure disposal with the state. Members of Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement argue that farmers will store manure in those idled barns, which could lead to water-polluting spills. Democrat Senator Joe Sang of Davenport says the measure is geared at farmers who want to temporarily idle part of their operation, perhaps because a child is going to college. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Secretary of State John Kerry is in Afghanistan, where he's meeting with President Hamid Karzai and others to discuss continued U.S. assistance to the country. There's been U.S. concern that Karzai may be jeopardizing progress in the war against extremism with anti-American rhetoric. Earlier today, the U.S. military handed over control of its last detention facility in Afghanistan. Who purchased that lucky $338.3 million Powerball ticket in New Jersey? State lottery officials say they'll give more information this morning at a news conference. There was only one winning ticket in the Saturday drawing, the fourth largest jackpot in Powerball history. The lump sum payment will be around $221 million. U.S. government statistics show there's been little progress in getting more people with disabilities into the workforce. Government labor data show 18% of the disabled population have jobs. It was 20% 4 years ago. Some residents in Newtown, Connecticut say they're outraged because they received robocalls from the National Rifle Association only 3 months after the Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings. Residents say the automated calls began last week and urge people to tell their state legislators to oppose gun control proposals. News time is 8:11.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into the Dish Radio Show, sponsored by the TV Store, your local authorized Dish retailer. We have a very special guest today. Please help me welcome Hopper the Kangaroo.
G'day, mate. Thanks for having me.
Well, Hopper, as you very well know, Dish recently named their newest receiver after you.
After me?
Yes, it's called the Hopper. And let me tell you, they pull out all the stops when it comes to the features they packed into this one.
What kind of features, mate?
Well, they doubled the amount of space to store your recorded information. They improved the software with better graphics and easy-to-read menus. They even went with magic remotes that can shoot through walls and doors.
Crikey, is there anything it can do?
Oh, I'm not done yet. You can also watch Dish anywhere from your smartphone, tablet, or your laptop computer. And the best part, they have it at the TV Store, your local authorized Dish retailer.
To find out more about the new Hopper, head on down to the TV Store, your local authorized Dish retailer today at 907 87th Street in Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-3032.
Only available for playback to selected primetime shows and must be enabled by customer. Dish anywhere requires broadband internet. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
In the funeral announcements, Grover Davis, age 86 of Ottoman, died Friday. Funeral services for Grover Davis will be this morning at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Ottoman. Kessler Funeral Home in Ottoman has arrangements. Wayne Wheatley, age 69, a lifelong resident of the Marnie and Walnut areas, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Wayne Wheatley will be this morning at 10:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Gervais Bentz, age 83, of Oakland, died Thursday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Gervais Bentz will be today at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Gaylord McCall, age 70, of Orient, died Saturday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Celebration of life services for Gaylord McCall will be on Tuesday at 10:30 at the Avondale United Methodist Church in rural Fontenelle. A luncheon will follow the service at the church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Sam Weigel, age 66, of Harlan, died Friday in Omaha. Funeral services for Sam Weigel will be held on Wednesday at 11 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Alice Conrad, age 58, of Harlan, died Saturday. No services are currently planned for Alice Conrad. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan is assisting the family. And Carol Heida, age 90, of Fontenelle, died Sunday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Carol Heida are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.